you're never more present than when you just slow down and you're with your breath and you can't think of your spouse. You can't think of the stress at work. You're just having to be there in that moment and be super ever present with your breath and with yourself. And it creates this mind-body connection.
I'm here today with Dom Piacentini. Dom is a real estate agent at Revolution Real Estate, co-owner of Juice Properties LLC. He's a director at Rush Henrietta School District here in my hometown of Rochester, New York.
I started experimenting with meditation and going to, you know, different local organizations to try and learn a bit. My circle of social networking wasn't really into that themselves. Eventually, it led me to what's called the Wim Hof Method.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network. Powered by Balbert Marketing LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone once again to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Dom Piacentini. Dom, what's happening, brother?
Well said. You nailed the last name.
It took me like three practices before we clicked record. But, you know, listen, you're becoming a fast friend, and I want to introduce you to the audience. Dom is a real estate agent at Revolution Real Estate, co-owner of Juice Properties LLC. He's a director at Rush Henrietta School District here in my hometown of Rochester, New York. You had a catering business. You do restorative practices. You're busy, man. You're busy. This is going to be fruitful.
Yeah, I definitely have my hand in many different pots, but as we were kind of chatting about, I'm starting to see a golden thread, if you will, emerge through all these ventures, and that's kind of this work of restorative practices, which is kind of a way of being and just making sure that in all interactions with anybody that we're seeing them as a human being first and finding out what we have in common as opposed to what we have different, because beneath the surface, we all have so much more in common than we know. And it's kind of a really cool way to go about life because it's just so helpful and fruitful in business when you can just be genuine in those interactions with people.
Amen to that. Let's go super basic for anyone who's curious. What do you mean by restorative practices? What exactly does that mean?
So restorative practices is basically started in not that name, but with several different indigenous cultures around the world. And it's not a curriculum, it's not a program, it's not prescribed, it's more of a way of being. And it's, again, the idea that we have a lot more in common with anybody we encounter than we do different, regardless of any racial background, religious beliefs, political beliefs, physical appearance, whatever it might be. As a human being living a human being experience, we just have so much in common. And there are it kind of became popularized in the justice system, actually, for restorative justice as a way to repair harm when harm was done in a criminal manner. And it's become popular in schools the last decade plus, which is kind of where I was first exposed to it. And I always start off my trainings by admitting, like, I was the first one to be like, I'm not holding hands and singing Kumbaya and getting all touchy-feely. But here I am now, you know, over 10 years later, you know, making it a part of who I am and what I do every day. And it's just kind of a way to build community, build relationships, so that when things do go wrong, and they will in life, right? We all have conflict and disagreements. There's kind of the equity in the bank with someone to be able to draw upon common shared experiences to move past whatever was causing some strife in a relationship in a positive way, or to help people when there is harm done or a conflict, engage in conflict resolution in a really intentional and mindful way that kind of respects everyone's different vantage points and allows them to be heard, but also hear someone else's vantage point, and then you know, move forward in a way that they can feel respected and appreciate the other person for, you know, what their experience has been.
And so this allows the entire group, the entire community, to move forward and actually have higher capacity for communication, striving, success, the whole shabam. If we are not initiating these restorative practices, we're going to fall apart.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people innately have this kind of restorative ability or as a way of their being just by their personality. But I think giving some language to it and some tools or some ways of engaging, there's some different protocols that we use in various settings that kind of give it the extra oomph and kind of solidify that as a viable way to communicate, like you said, and to really kind of help people move forward in a positive direction. So typically we say that 80% of the work is proactive, right? We want to build relationship, build connections prior to things going astray. But when they do, we also have this toolkit available to us to help repair harm and to help move forward in a way that everyone kind of feels good about.
Yeah, we want to be proactive, but if and when things might not go as planned, we have the tools to handle that scenario. The short question I have, and then I'm going to ask you to go deeper than the short version, is where did you learn this stuff? And really, what I'm asking is, go a little bit deeper into your backstory, because like you're doing so many things at a high level. Where did you get your star? And just talk a little bit about your come up of what led you to where you are today.
With Restored in particular, yeah. So, I worked, obviously, my main job currently is in education. And so earlier in my career, I worked in the Rochester City School District, and they were one of the early adopters in Monroe County of restorative practices. And I was sent to a training, I would say begrudgingly, to be honest, at a local not-for-profit called Partners in Restorative Initiatives, PERI. They're located right over by Cobbs Hill in the city of Rochester. And it's a really peaceful, tranquil setting, and they do a great job of providing training for community members, other not-for-profits, school districts, etc. And so I kind of went through the training and still had a great experience, but wasn't necessarily sold on my lane or how much I bought into it per se. And eventually, in my role as an educator, I was assigned as assistant principal to work in a school that was the only all-male urban public school in all of New York State. So not a charter, not a private school in the city of Rochester. And, you know, providing an educational service for some of our most at-risk youth, right? Young men, and particularly young men of color in the city of Rochester. And so we were a restorative school. And so through my work there, I really had to dive into embracing that mindset. And the more I used it, the more I saw fruit, and the more I saw the young men I worked with benefiting. I had the opportunity to work with some really great folks through our administrative team and counselors, some of the best I've ever seen at working with, you know, young students who are often in trauma in these cases. And we just kind of rocked it every day. We were doing intentional, strategic, formal restorative practices to be preventative and to help these young men process their emotions and their experiences. But we also used it every day, all day, in reactive situations when there might be a fight or, to be honest, you know, potential for gang violence or whatever it might have been that was going on or brewing. I can't even count, you know, how many situations that we were able to diffuse through these skill sets and strategies of restorative. And so I really kind of dove in that way and became a champion of the work because I started seeing how effective it was. And I started feeling how it was changing me as a person, because I felt like maybe I was that way naturally, but now I was giving it some language and giving me some more powerful tools to really utilize, not just in the work or education setting, but with relationships, family, just out and about living in the world. These skill sets definitely translate very seamlessly and easily to any social interactions. And then you kind of fast forward, I transitioned to a different role in the Russian Miranda School District, and they were at the very beginning of their restorative implementation plan. And I took it as an opportunity to kind of show my worth in my new role in a new place, and kind of took the lead or helped take the co-lead of implementing this work across our district. And we've actually done some pretty great stuff with the work. There's still tons of growth to be had, but we've, as a team, presented at conferences in Saratoga and San Diego to school boards about the work, because there's such natural connections to social emotional learning and well-being and mental health, but also to equity and inclusion work, which obviously are at the forefront of educational conversations these days. And so our work in restorative has been really to kind of build the capacity of our leaders and of our staff to engage with adults in a restorative manner, but also to, you know, turnkey that skill set into their interaction with students. And so it's been really cool to be a part of the growth of that work over the course of several years. And the more that I do it, the more I find myself seeking out opportunities to use these skill sets outside of the work environment. And so, like we talked about, I just started two small consulting businesses where I'll be offering restorative consultation or restorative services to do proactive team building, conflict resolution, or even training of large groups of staff or employees or group members to be able to effectively understand kind of the purposes of this way of being and also engage in these strategies when things do happen or to prevent things from happening. And so it's really kind of taken its course. And it's funny, I always start off like I did today by saying, like, I was the first one to be like, that's not for me. I'm not the kind of guy. It's just not my lane. But as you would have it, it's kind of how I live my life these days. And I'm, you know, finding different ways to implement these strategies in all parts of my interaction in life.
Love it. Tell us a little bit. So how do we find the new consulting businesses? How do we keep in touch? I didn't even have it in the bio. You're doing so much, brother.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a serial entrepreneur, I guess you might say. So we're very infantile in their stages. So one, I'm just using my own name currently as the business, but I will be looking to develop an LLC or a DBA in the near future to kind of start growing that a bit larger. But if anyone has the need for a service in that way, whether it be a school system, a college, a private business or organization where you might benefit from team building, community building, relationship building, from conflict resolution, or even just training members of a group on how to use these strategies and skill sets, they can reach out to me directly. You have my information. Currently in talks with a couple different school districts as we speak, a local university. Cool. I just got one contract underway with a school district down in Wayne Finger Lakes, BOCES, I'll be working with. So things are happening, and I'm looking to expand it. A, because I obviously am in business, but B, I just see the value in the work, and I love being able to share this learning with folks and to see it play out where it benefits people in various ways.
Yes, sir. And your contact is in the description, the show notes, or someone can reach out to me at any time. We skipped a chapter that I kind of want to go back to. So specifically, when we were first talking, we first met, you talked about your time, you know, at that all boys school, that inner city school. And from my perception, just hearing some of the stories, it sounded pretty stressful. And kind of riff on some of the inner work, the emotional work you started doing at that time, because I thought that was enlightening to kind of hear your story and kind of your start in the wellness place and breath work and things like that. Because talk a little bit, it was stressful at that time, right? You had a lot of fires to put out sometimes.
Yeah. You know, I feel like, you know, working in an urban education setting is challenging at times, but also super rewarding. And
yes.
I oftentimes feel guilty still about having to need to leave at the time. And I still think about, you know, returning to that setting at some point in time or finding other ways to work there as I have in the past with like not-for-profits and whatnot. But yeah, you're right. So I worked in a very high needs, high intensity with lots of challenging behaviors and lots of just young men who are living in crisis or having traumatic experiences kind of play out in their interactions with them, their peers, with staff. And, you know, being someone who cares, right? I really, I couldn't get beyond the fact that no matter how hard I was trying and the team was trying and our staff was trying, you know, there was still a lot to overcome. And we had great success with, you know, graduation rates, comparatively speaking to other schools in our district. But there was just a great need. I won't go into too many details about some of the stories, but it's hard to explain in words some of the need without just kind of seeing and feeling it in person. So I experienced, you know, one day at dismissal, it was kind of like a building feeling of stress, and there were a couple of fights happening, and myself, other teachers, administrators, counselors were in the hallway, you know, getting young men to the buses. And I just felt myself having, like, I wouldn't call it a panic attack, but just this like pain in my neck and chest. And at the time I was probably like 34, 35 years old, you know, super fit, healthy, conscious, always, you know, physically active. I was running a catering business. I was just always doing something. And they had to like take me and sit me down in the counselor's office. And these are two gentlemen who, like I said earlier, the best I've ever seen at working with young men, the best I've ever seen at like conflict resolution. They were just very dynamic individuals. And one of these individuals himself had been taken out on a stretcher earlier that year. Wow. Just from the sheer enormity of the stress that can be in that environment. And so he recognized like it was kind of happening to me. And they're like, you know, we need you. You got to kind of calm it down. We can't afford to have you not with us, you know, for the rest of the school year. And so that was really like a turning point for me, where I was like, man, like this is affecting me more than I even realized. And so it really kind of catapulted me to start exploring different ways of being well. So I'd always been into sports, athletics, and lifting weights and doing cardio, whatever it might be. But the other kind of mental and spiritual wellness were very foreign to me. And if, you know, you had told me back then that I'd be doing the things I do now and the spaces that I am, I would say you're crazy. But life is like that, and it gives us what we kind of need. So I started experimenting with meditation and going to, you know, different local organizations to try and learn a bit. I started, you know, getting more comfortable about doing these things on my own, right? Because my circle of social networking wasn't really into that themselves. And so, you know, I started just finding different events to be a part of, doing different readings, exploring different ways of wellness, and eventually it led me to what's called the Wim Hof method, which is this method of like meditation, cold exposure, and breath work. And again, I was the kind of guy that if I turned the shower from hot to less hot, I'd be like, it's too cold for me. So the idea of
hot to less hot,
you know, the idea of hopping in a frozen lake in the middle of winter when it's 10 degrees out and meditating for 15 minutes would have been very foreign at the time. But a good friend of mine, Mike, who I grew up with, saw a documentary and was kind of curious about it. And we started researching more and more and watching podcasts and searching out, you know, Wim Hof himself and some of his different documentaries. And we together kind of started experimenting with that way of being and those methods. And eventually it led us to literally just like one day went to Stony Brook, which is a local, you know, park with a creek and waterfalls. And we, in 18 degree weather, did a little hike, ripped off our outer gear in our bathing suits and like climbed down this icy embankment to a little opening in the creek where there was water. And we got in there and we probably lasted about 5 or 6 minutes, which is quite a while for your first time. And we had to like army crawl up this embankment of ice because our legs were so numb from not being used to being so cold. But I tell you, when you get out of that water and you've just done that, especially in nature, you've never felt more alive in your life. And a really unique thing about cold plunging or cold exposure in a very intentional way, it's not so much the David Goggins tough through it mentality. Mm-hmm. It's more so the opposite, where it's, and no offense to that, he's inspirational in his own way, but it's about being mindful and intentional and being present. So whether you're in an ice bath and you're your house or your backyard, or if you're in a freezing creek or river or stream or whatever, you're never more present than when you just slow down and you're with your breath and you can't think of your spouse. You can't think of the stress at work. You can't think of the ex-girlfriend, whatever it might be, you're just having to be there in that moment and be super ever present with your breath and with yourself. And it creates this mind body connection. And he's really great and dynamic at explaining the scientific research that he's done behind this method. But there are exponential like mental health benefits. I'm going to mispronounce the terms, but the chemistry in your body that releases at exponential levels when you put yourself intentionally through this cold, uncomfortable experience physically helps with the autoimmune system. It helps with fat loss. It helps with nervous system regulation and anxiety, depression. You name it, there's benefits to it. And beyond that, it just shows you that you can do hard things, right? So if you put your mind to it and you're willing to try and push past your discomfort, on the other side is oftentimes a great reward. So I really started getting involved with wellness in that way, and then picked up yoga a bit more seriously. So I am no means a yoga instructor, but I do practice often, and I seek out different wellness retreats. So I attended a retreat for the first time on my own, kind of on a whim, about a year ago, with my friends over, based out of Buffalo and Ellicottville, at the Empowered Collective. And, it was a really powerful experience. There was lots of, different types of meditations, yoga experiences, visualization, all types of, just kind of wellness practices. And I kind of fell in love with it. And they must have liked me too, because they asked me the next time they did it, about a month later, to be one of their facilitators. Wow. And help run the experience. And I've been working with them ever since. And just kind of the more and more I dive into this world, the more benefit I feel. And I feel like doing the work of becoming a better person or a better version of me will then benefit those I encounter, because I'm a better version of myself. And so I kind of take that, it's almost like a Buddhist adage, right, of self-improvement for the betterment of the greater good. And I just really enjoy being a part of those experiences. And so I often now will go to different events or create my own events. I've ran different wellness events locally. I'm actually hosting one this weekend at my home here in Highland Park. It'll be yoga, it'll be breath work, meditation. We're gonna be doing cold plunges. We're gonna have a cacao ceremony. Lots of unique ways to kind of give people exposure to different ways of being well and experiencing different practices. They might grasp onto one, and if they find one that they can help their life, you know, and be a better version of themselves, then I feel like it was a success. So I'm looking to actually, as we speak, I had a meeting last week, and I'm looking to start hosting my own wellness retreats. And so be on the lookout, spring or summer of 2024, got some things in the works, and looking to, you know, bring lead practitioners from the area. So lead yoga instructors, lead breathwork instructors, mindfulness teachers to come in and guide our group at the retreat through various experiences. And so it's just a really cool way to connect with people, a really cool way to connect with yourself. And like I said, if you had told me that I'd be doing these things or hosting these things on my own years ago, I would have looked at you cross-eyed. So life is a journey for sure.
And it's not just some big, burly, you know, badass jumping in just because he thinks he's cool. It actually is creating, changing your physiology, it sounds like. It's helping you change your mindset. It's teaching you to breathe right. It's teaching you to remain calm in a conflict, you know, scenario. And I'm curious, I kind of know the answer, but in case someone doesn't have the answer to this, I mean, this is the Rochester segment, but I have international listeners. You don't have to be Rochester, New York, and come to Highland Park, Highland area to do this kind of thing. This is accessible anywhere in the world, correct?
That's the beautiful part about it. And I want to make sure I give credit to Wim Hof, this very unique, eccentric guy from the Netherlands, who really kind of developed this method over time. And it's become very popularized. You'll see on different podcasts, you know, Rogan and different folks who are celebrating the benefits of cold exposure. But all you need is, you know, access to water scientifically that's below 55 degrees. And I just saw a clip from Huberman who was saying that there's studies that show up to 11 minutes over the course of a week. So you can do a minute here, 2 minutes there,
really?
In water that's below 50, 55 degrees has measurable physiological and mental health benefits to the person who's doing it over time. And so it's really cool that we have this innate power within ourselves and connecting with nature, right? So the cold or the water is a part of our environment, that it just really allows us to tap into what we have there at our disposal.
Powerful. And we don't have to do 11 minutes straight. We can break it up throughout the week. We could take a cold shower, could take an ice bath. We could stop at a local center if there is one. Is this in the category of restorative practices, kind of the inner work, or is that kind of does that fall into that category?
I wouldn't say it is traditionally, but I can definitely see how we can make that connection, right? And so if anything you're doing to be more present, to be more conscious, is going to really impact how you interact with yourself or interact with others, I would say is restorative in nature, right? And so I don't want to say that one thing is or isn't. If you're finding benefit, if it's making you a healthier, better version of yourself, and if that better self is engaging with folks in the world or in business in a more effective, calmer, transparent way, then I would say, yeah, it's a win-win for all of us.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily in conflict resolution category, but it's the inner work that allows you to have the capacity to handle the conflict with a little bit more patience, possibly. I'm curious whether it's you or an example of someone you've worked beside, just an example of like a really stressful, difficult situation to navigate, and you know, how it might have failed in the past, but because of this inner work, because of this restorative work internally, why you or that person or just any example like was able to kick butt and handle it properly. When I know personally, I screw things up. I might screw it up, but you know, a scenario where it didn't get screwed up and it worked out perfectly.
I'll give you two examples. One I'll call a micro example and one I'll call a macro example. So the micro example, so obviously I also do real estate. So beyond, you know, flipping houses and owning rentals myself and with a business partner, I'm also a real estate agent. And so they say, like, you know, having your first child, getting married, and the buy and sale of a home are some of the most stressful situations in like the modern person's life in the Western world, right? And so a current client or a recent client of mine who was selling their house, you know, had gone through a lot of life changes. You know, there was divorces, there was new love, there was new home purchases with a new family, mixing families, and then selling their home. And so that could be in a very emotional, taxing process. If you're not used to the buying and selling of a home process, there's lots of, you know, little things that make the experience more successful. But there's also lots of understanding of legal processes and, you know, the way things work and timelines and lawyers and offers and contracts and all these things. And so ironically, I was able to utilize keeping myself calm and grounded when engaging with this person, knowing that as a client, they're going to feed off of my energy, right?
True.
And so just keeping myself calm when we're comparing offers or waiting on this piece of legal matter to come through is remaining very calm and remaining very positive and just knowing that we've done the work and it's going to work out the way it's going to work out. But also, you know, coaching them through just the emotional stress of leaving one home and going to another and helping them kind of recognize the opportunity and, but also acknowledging their feelings of stress or of emotional attachment. And so, even though you wouldn't think of it, these skills translate into real estate or other businesses as well. That was the micro. I'll give you a macro example.
And then the macro. I was going to ask you.
We're
going to
get real
this.
Here. Yeah. So in my current role as a director in a school district, rewind back to 2020, during the election time, there was obviously people with varying of views, right? So there was, you know, pro-Trump, and imagine that, right? BLM and all these different kind of polarizing modalities and ways of identifying politically that were playing out and causing conflict in the real world too. And so there were a group of bus drivers and bus monitors in our district. We have over 150 of employees that work in that department, having conflict, like real conflict over these different political beliefs. And it started off where the immediate supervisors tried to deal with it in a traditional way. It didn't work. The behaviors, the frustrations, the tension escalated, even to the point where our superintendent at the time had to come in and address some of the group. And it still didn't quell what was going on. And luckily it didn't, but there was almost folks coming to blows over these political disagreements.
Yeah.
And at that point, they called in myself and a colleague who also does this work. And we devised a plan together that we would identify a group of individuals, about 20, some of the leaders of, you know, one political side of the aisle and the other, and then sprinkled in folks who are very neutral, that everyone liked and respected. And we would bring them together for a series of 6 weeks to do this work. And we were very intentional, myself and my colleague, about how we planned it out. The first week that we got together for an hour with this group, we sat in circle and went over the process and the protocol of how we engage in this process and the circle of the one piece of restorer that we were using. And we started off very light. We started off making connections. We didn't even touch anything remote to politics, to race, religion, belief, anything like that. And we intentionally kind of scaffolded that over the course of 6 weeks. So by the third or fourth week, when we started just broaching the conversation, one guy, I remember like it was yesterday, looked at me and goes, "I see what you're doing." And he was right. We had intentionally spent 2 to 3 weeks every time we got together, helping them get out of their own ways, setting aside this one difference they might have had about a political belief or whatever it might have been. And some of the folks who had some of the most conflicting beliefs around this time and all these issues going on had a lot more in common with each other than they realized. And so we, in essence, kind of through our process, helped them get out of their own ways to see the person who they had a conflict with, they thought was a conflict, as a person living a human experience, having lived several other common experiences that through just dialogue and discussion as we organized, they were able to kind of peel back the layers and hear someone else's experience and relate to that. They were able to say, you know what, at the end, you might think that way and I think this way on this one thing, but now I know so much more about you and we have so much more in common and actually share so many common beliefs about family, about work ethic, about whatever it might be, that, you know what, I don't really care so much about your political disagreement because now I see you as a person. And it was so successful that not only did it stop the issue, but this group asked us, can we train them to train and work with their colleagues? And they recommended other colleagues to come in, and we did it again with a whole different group. And so it was really powerful. That's probably my most powerful experience, because it obviously was such a divisive time, right? And there was lots of feelings on both sides of the aisle there. And it really played out to be such a powerful, positive experience. So that's my macro example.
Yeah, we have a heck of a lot more in common than we have not in common, right? Where most of us have pretty similar values and beliefs of helping each other, helping our family, you know, striving for success, taking care of one another, showing respect, showing kindness. It's funny when the guy called you out. I see what you guys are doing, you know. So
I was like,
so,
you're right. It took you 3 weeks, but you're right. You get it now.
Well, so in short, like, it's if you don't tackle the root cause of the problem right off the bat, you want to build a little bit of trust beforehand.
Right. Like, imagine, you know, think of two children, right? If they get into a fist fight on the playground, you're probably going to want to do some pre-coaching, some pre-discussion with them to help them, A, calm down and kind of get settled, and B, start to think about, you know, how their actions may have impacted somebody else, or how that person's actions triggered them because this other thing was going on. And that was really what was going on. I had a bad day, you know, I didn't eat breakfast and my mom was yelling at me or whatever was going on. And this one little thing kind of set me off and it led to this other big conflict. And so just giving people time to pause, reflect, process, and then eventually make these, you know, human to human connections, whether it be in conflict resolution or in business. There's just so many benefits to just having a better quality interaction. Not everyone's going to be best friends and, you know, be, you know, holding hands in the park. But the idea is that we can all coexist, and beyond coexisting, have a mutual respect for someone else as a person living a human experience.
Amen to that.
Yeah, man.
First off, we could talk about a trillion things. I feel like you could have your own podcast. Before we take a hard pivot to the rapid fire round, which is a short, sweet, fun, get to know you kind of questions. The listener loves that. Is there anything that you feel like we missed that you wanted to touch on? Because again, you could have your own podcast, but I wanted to give you the space if there is anything on your heart and mind that you still wanted to bring to the table. Now we'll go rapid fire.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. Thanks for the compliment. And
thanks, man.
I would say too, I just want to also pitch that, like I said, I am involved with real estate. And so we haven't really spent much time talking about that. But I mentioned a very quick example of how someone like myself who might embody that type of mentality can be an asset to a buyer or a seller, in particular in this very challenging and ever-changing market. So I'll make that one plug and turn it back to you.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, this isn't a podcast on real estate, but what's a real estate agent? It's just a trusted individual that has done the work to get certified, know the market, know the numbers, know the codes, partner with attorneys if needed to help somebody out. So I think it's pretty simple, right? Most of the listeners aren't in Rochester looking for a home today or selling their home today, but if they are, they just hit you up and just say hello.
Yeah, of course. And we can just have a conversation. Even if you're in a different market, in a different state,
some tips,
and you want some advice, or if you're looking to flip a home or do a wholesale, I'm always learning and people have helped me along the way. So I'm always willing to share what I've learned with anybody who has questions too.
Sweet, man. So to start rapid fire, we're going hyper local. You're a busy man. What do you do when it's not entrepreneurial? This is just stuff that fills you up. You kind of touched on it with cold plunges and breath work, but what other stuff do you do for fun when it's just you doing something for yourself?
I'm very much into physical fitness, so it's not uncommon that I hit the gym twice in a day sometimes.
Nice.
So I love to be physically active. I enjoy going out and hiking in nature, especially as the leaves change this time of year. I love engaging with, you know, friend groups, going out. I'm a bit of a foodie. So as a former restaurant and catering business owner and chef, I love to cook. I love going out and eating at different spots and supporting local businesses, and just kind of, you know, being social in that way.
You named food and local businesses, two things that I love. And I know you can't name them all, but like, any favorite, you know, just places to eat, go out at, have a glass of wine, beer, any of that stuff? Any favorite places just to hang out?
So I have quite a few favorites, but I will say there was one point in time this summer where I did frequent Vern's on Park Ave 4 out of 5 weeks in a row for a meal and some drinks. And so they do a great job of the atmosphere and the food and the service. But I also love supporting like local kind of mom and pop spots too, where it's different ethnic foods. And, you know, if the food's good, I'm going to be there.
Mm, amen to that. So this is a goofy question, but I love it. Feel free to be as creative as you want.
Okay.
So you accomplish all the things that you're doing right now. You've done it. You kicked ass. and they decided they're going to write a, they're going to do a, produce a movie about your life. We'll do a produce a movie about your life. Who plays you?
Wow. I didn't see it going that direction.
What direction where did you feel it was going to go?
I don't know. It wasn't that one though.
I was kind of making it up on the spot.
I like it. I like it. You know, recently I was out on a date with someone, and she mentioned that I looked, and I don't quite see it, but like her star crush, Jason Statham.
Okay.
I don't know if that resonates as I'm looking in the camera here as much. Not quite so burly as ours. Yeah. His is probably a little more close. Who would play me? They better be a pretty dynamic actor. I must say that.
I think Jason could pull it off.
He could do it. He could do it.
Yeah. And on that like celebrity vein, and it doesn't have to be a celebrity, but if you could sit down and have dinner with any 2, 3, 5 people, live or dead, and just spend the time to, you know, shoot the breeze, pick their brain, who would you want at that dinner table?
You know, I would say my grandfather, who passed away. We were very close my entire life growing up. My nickname, ironically, in high school was Gramps, which is not that typical for a high school kid.
No.
but part of that relationship was part of that backstory. And he passed away my first day at college back in 2021. And I would just love to hear, you know, some of the things he didn't share with me about his past and our family's past when I was a child, because it wasn't appropriate for a child to maybe know. I'd love to hear his thoughts on as he's watching me live out my life and my siblings and my parents, you know, how he thinks about what we've all been doing and what he sees in store for us. I would say I got to go with my man, Frank Sinatra, just because he has so many cool stories. Yeah. Own Blue Eyes, right? Like,
yeah.
I'd love to hear the stories. And he's someone I think lived in multiple circles, right? So, you know, from his upbringing in a humble, you know, in New Jersey to hobnobbing with, you know, presidents, mobsters, whoever it might have been, Hollywood, he was able to navigate all those kind of circles. And on a much smaller scale, I kind of feel like I often am placed in different settings with different types of people. And it'd be kind of cool to hear some of his advice or just some of the stories of who he rubbed elbows with and what they were doing. And you know what? Because he's still alive and it's a possibility, I guess, in some way or another, I'd love to sit with my man Wim Hof and really pick his brain about going deeper into this method that I've really adopted and made a part of my life, and just to kind of get some more insights from him about how to understand it more accurately and how to help others engage with it as well.
That's doable. I've got a buddy who studied with him at a workshop of some sort. Might require travel, but that one's doable. We could make that one happen.
Yeah, they do. I think every year at Mount Cessna, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, in Poland, where he has like a week long immersive experience. So it's on my bucket list, but I need to move it to the front maybe.
Hey, let's go. You got plenty of time, but. Well, he's getting older. He doesn't act old, though, does he? He
no,
acts like a freaking 12-year-old.
He's like a child, yeah. The inner child comes out for sure.
Well, cool, man. I appreciate you coming on. Tell us once again, like, how do we continue to follow the journey, get some advice, just connect and make a friend? Well, where should we go?
I'm on social media, obviously. I've really made a concerted effort in the last month or so to start having more of a presence. It definitely never felt natural to me to post a lot, but I'm just trying to promote the things that I'm doing, and I feel like the things that I'm involved with are also services to others, so I don't feel guilty about like calling attention to that. So I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, you have my email. People can call my cell phone. I'm not worried about, you know, any prank callers. If you want my cell phone, it's out there. Email me, call me, find me on social media. And if you just want to connect, I've honestly had randomly in the last month or so, 3 complete strangers reach out via, you know, Facebook or Instagram Messenger and saying, "Hey, I've been seeing your posts and I just want to share. It's been inspiring. And can I talk to you? Can we connect?" And I was just kind of first taken back, like, is this like a joke or just some, but it wasn't. And these people really just wanted to kind of just have a chat. And it's been pretty cool. And I love meeting new people anyways. And so if I can share my story or learn from someone else, then I'm always willing to do so.
Well, dude, I'm already following you, but I encourage everybody else to go follow the Instagram. That's in the show notes. Be part of that first batch before Dom. For all we know, you could have hundreds of thousands or millions of followers soon. I'm just thinking out loud here. Fitness, real estate, breath work, food, restorative wellness. Like, these all of those topics go great on Instagram. It's you got potential. You've got lots of different parts of the body you're working in regards to all your interests here.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity. This is actually my first time ever joining a podcast, so I'm happy it was with you, and it was a very comfortable and positive experience. So I appreciate the opportunity to kind of share some of my stories and what I'm doing.
Dude, and we got 4 billion listeners, so you're going to get blown up after this one.
Uh-oh. I'm nervous to get my phone now.
Well, hey, boss, I appreciate your time. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.